time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
This could be a record. It's possible I will not speak for the entire Jason Wilde segment if he chooses to use it all on whatever angle or input he has regarding Jair Alexander. If you want Jason Wilde, he's on like a million shows every day. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you hit the Jason Wilde, and then you'll have access to everything and find out if I'm overstating or, in fact, saying truth. Jason, good afternoon.
So, wait a minute. So, explain this to me. On Tuesdays, I mean, not this past Tuesday, because Marquette was busy beating Providence. And we had plenty to talk about. It would have been nice to talk about the confrontation at the end of the game. I love Shaka Smart.
Yeah, I was to apologize to you and to Tausch. I should do it on your show, but it's your show, and whatever you want to do, I should do without being a bit of a jerk at times. So that will end.
I prefer dink than jerk. But
okay,
dink, you know,
I'll
both
work. Dink's fine. I'm sorry.
All right, I appreciate the apology. I wasn't expecting that. It's a highlight of my day so far. So you pawned me off on Anderson on Tuesdays. You pawned me off on Bulaga on Thursdays. And now on my Wednesday, when I enjoy it just being you and I, now you're trying to just hand the segment over to me and
I deliver
15-minute soliloquy?
No,
That's kind of how it sounded.
No. Well, I know, because this is the one
Big
time.
Squared.
This one time, because there are so many aspects to this that you can go in, and I don't want you to leave out any of it. There's what he might think, what the team might think. What are the financial things? What are the money deals? So that makes you think this is what the Packers, they're just so many parts to this, and I wanted to give you the opportunity. But I'll ask you the questions if you like. I certainly owe you at least one.
Let me start with this, because I corresponded with a bunch of NFL executives that I know, because the biggest question that I had was, what the heck are they going to get in a trade? Like, what would the compensation be for a guy who is, you know, they played 68 football games in the regular season the last 4 years. And Jair Alexander has played in 34 of them and missed 34 of them. And a 50% availability is just not, you can't do that, right? I mean,
I agree.
So in
a trade, they would have to pay his current contract, right?
No, he's off the books. Like, they'd have dead money from the unamortized portion of his signing bonus, but he's got no more guaranteed money on his contract. So they trade him, he gone.
And all right, he's gone, but what does the team that gets him have to pay?
Well, again, I would assume that they would want to adjust his contract
yes.
as well. So I just finished my story for channel3000.com. And first, I want to get to the different opinions that I got from different NFL executives. One, I said, you know, what would the return be for Alexander? And his response was not good. And I said, well, what do you think? A sixth rounder, maybe? He said, not even that much. Okay. Then I asked another guy.
All right, so we're talking seventh.
Who I also trust. And he said, I said, here's what this guy said. What do you think? He's like, oh, I think they would get more. I would think he can still play. I said, okay, so. All right, that helps. And then I asked, all right, another guy, what do you think the Packers can get? And he said, I would ask for a third and then settle for a fourth or a fifth. So it's kind of all over the map, and I think that underscores the uncertainty that his next team would be facing with him, which is, who am I going to get? Am I going to get the guy in 2020 and 2022? Who played 15 games in 2020 out of 16 and 16 games out of 17 in 2022 and was a second team all pro each year? Or am I going to get the guy from 21, 23, and 24 who missed 13 games in 21, who missed 10 games in 23 and who missed 10 more games in 24. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're looking at...
No, that's why I agree with you, Jason. That's why that would limit what you would give. The only way you give more is if you're confident that you're going to get 20 and 22.
Or you're desperate. Or you're desperate corner help.
But there's so much if there. I don't know, the doctors, you'd have to... Who's your medical guy could tell you that... Can anybody know how serious the injuries still are or not?
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a scope for this PCL injury. PCLs are not traditionally, you know, debilitating. He had the shoulder injury in 2021, which I would argue is, you know, the type of injury that causes you to change the way you play. And I think he undeniably changed the way he plays in terms of tackling. He was... You remember when he came into league and you and your buddy T-Buck were talking about him, like one of the many appealing things about him, in addition to being a good cover guy, was that he was a more than willing and capable tackler. Like he was physical for a little guy, which he is. He was super physical. And so, you know, that I would think the fact that he's not that way anymore, I would think would be a problem. Now, again, the money part that you mentioned. His base salary for 2025, as it currently stands, is $16.15 million. And then I think for 2026, it's $18.15 million. If the Packers trade him or release him, and it's before June 1st, he would count actually less money against the cap. Now, he wouldn't be on the team. But if they keep him, he will count $25.86 million against the cap this year. If they release him, the dead money that he'll count is 19.1. So basically, they're saving $6.75 million in cap space if they move on from him. So they have a financial incentive if they don't think he's going to be 2022 or 2020 Jair. And what evidence do we have, whether you're the Packers or you're a team discussing a trade, that he will be that guy? And I would respond if, you know, if the Carolina Panthers called me tomorrow, because I got a buddy who works for their website, and says, hey, Jason, what do you think we should do? We need corner help. We know Jair is from Charlotte because we learned that when he appointed himself captain because he hadn't been chosen as a captain for our game against him on Christmas Eve a couple of years ago. What do you think we should be willing to offer him and offer the Packers in trade compensation and offer Jair in contract adjustment? Because they don't want him at $16.15 million as a base salary next year. I would say I'd give up a fifth or a sixth because I do think there's the upside of if you're right, you're going to get a really good player. And then from a contract perspective, you know, I'd take a big chunk of that $16 million base salary, make it a signing bonus so you can spread it out over the length of your contract, knock his base salary down to about $2 million, and then if it blows up in your face and he has injury problems and you're one and done with him, then you can spread the cap hit over a couple of years and he's only cost you about $7 million or $8 million on the cap each year and you move on from him after a year. That's what I would say, but I'm not an NFL GM.
I'm giving a fifth. I see it exactly as you do. I also think more than others, I think he's mad at the Packers, so that makes me think.
I agree with that. I think, you know, Goody would never say this, right. But I think the Packers are mad at him too.
Yes.
Like, let's you know, set aside 2023 when I don't think there's any question that, and based on conversation, I mean, Rob Domofsky tells a great story about talking to him and him saying that suspension that he got for appointing himself captain might have been, and I'm quoting from Rob, exactly what I needed. That's what Jair told him. I had conversations with him where about how much happier he was this year during the first month of the season was when I talked to him about it. As compared to the previous year, he hated playing for Joe Barry. He didn't think Joe Barry respected what he was capable of. You remember the very, like that very first game in Minnesota, he was irate that he didn't match up with Justin Jefferson. Like, there was no rescuing that Joe Barry relationship. So he was unhappy with the defensive coordinator. I also think he was unhappy with the strength and conditioning staff during 2023. I think he really felt like he was, you know, that they weren't helping him. Now, he may be wrong, but I'm saying that was his mentality. So, and remember, going into the 23 season, he had a $700,000 roster workout bonus, and he didn't show, didn't come to any of the offseason program. He just threw away $700,000. That's how unhappy he was. So now you fast forward to 2024, and he comes to the offseason program to collect his $700,000. He's super excited about Halfley. You and I remember very vividly talking about how there were people in the building who were saying that one of the fringe benefits of signing Xavier McKinney was that the two of them hit it off right away, and that Xavier McKinney was bringing out the best in Jair as opposed to what had happened the year before. He plays really well during the first month of the season. He's got the pick six at Tennessee. Like, everything is coming up roses. He loves the strength and conditioning staff. They had changed out the whole group. The stuff that they were doing with him, he thought was making him, giving him a much better chance of being durable and staying healthy. So he loved those guys. He loved Derek Ansley, the new defensive passing game coordinator who basically coached the corners. He loved the Halfley scheme. Like, everything was great. And then, you know, he hurts his knee in Jacksonville on October 27th. And, okay, hey, you get injured, and everybody does. But then he tries to come back on November 17th. There's that whole thing of him working out before the game. They agree to have him be on a pitch count. He makes it through 10 plays and then says, I can't go any longer. And whether or not they would admit it, that really, I think, pissed off the Packers. And they never said that publicly. They never said, you know, they all said stuff like, hey, you know, he thought he could go, and it turned out he couldn't. And, you know, that happens. Cetera,
and I think that pissed him off because he thought they believed in him now, given all that occurred.
Correct.
And that when he yep. said he was hurt, they'd believe he was hurt. They not only didn't believe it, they went and stated publicly in a manner that you never do, even when you don't believe the player, regardless of who it is. And then
complicating that, and this is why, you know, and again, our mutual friend Chris Roth, the sports director at WBAY TV up here, you know, he apologized to me. I said, you don't owe me an apology. I just wish, like, everyone wanted to get Jair. And on locker room cleanout day, everyone was around somebody else. It was a huge group. Jair was by himself. I said, hey, you got a minute? He agreed to talk, and then he saw the TV cameras coming, and he had this exchange with the entire group where he said, you guys don't want to talk to me. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. And then he said, I don't have anything good to say anyway. And to me, that's I don't have anything good to say part is what I wanted to get to with him, because your theory is exactly what I wanted to ask him about. Like, did it bother you that it sure felt like there were people around here who believed you could have been playing through this injury? That was one of the questions I really wanted to get answered from him. And now, you know, I never will. So I think
but you know the
animosity
answer
on both sides.
Right?
Yeah, but I want him to say it.
But I don't know that I would say it if I was him. What's to be benefited by that?
Well, if he thinks he's gone anyway, then I think it benefits him to be able to get it out there to say, look, I tried to play and I couldn't do it. It's not that I'm soft. It's not that I don't care about my teammates. Like, the pain in my knee was such that I didn't think I could play through
it. But wouldn't you worry that the other teams would say he's always complaining about something
maybe
with that captain?
Maybe, but maybe, you know, the other thing, because I would argue that the perception of him
right.
among some is that he only plays when he's 100%. And, you know,
that could be true.
It could be true. And remember, like, I spend a lot of time, you know, you look at the guys that are, you know, probably the three ex-NFL players on our air that I spend the most time with. I don't talk to Brad Nortman as often. I don't talk to Gary Ellerson as often. But it's Bulaga, it's Chewy, and it's Tausch. And two of them are offensive linemen, and one of them's a tight end who kind of had.
And they played when they were 10%.
And those guys all played through injuries.
Yes.
They're all from an earlier era. They're not corners who, if you can't run, you're going to look foolish and you're going to give up big plays. So, you know, those guys, I understand their mentality completely, but I do think that a player like Jair might look at it and go, well, that's great that you guys could play. You've got to move about 10 yards of play tops. I don't. So, again, but these are all the conversations that I didn't get to have with them that I wish I could have.
All right. Well, you did almost. I did ask a couple questions, but you did the whole time about Jair. And
more of a conversation.
When you're on next, what is tomorrow? Tomorrow will be Thursday.
He's on tomorrow.
You and Bulaga. I hope you and Bulaga talk about Jair.
Well, you might have a role in that if you want to bring that up, but it is your show because you do this every day as opposed to Marquette games, which are not every day, as I learned this morning.
Nice. Thanks.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Again, you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com. You hit Jason Wilde, and you'll find out. He's on every show, and he's probably on shows that don't exist, whatever that means. All right, couple of notes. Got to tell you about distance, 38 minutes or 30 minutes. Yep, American Place Casino. You hear American Place Casino, I want you to tell me. Homer says it's 30 minutes from Franklin, but it's actually 38 if you want to be specific. Yep, that's what I want you to know about American Place Casino. That's what I want you to know. Half hour south of Franklin, maybe exactly 38 minutes. Okay, located in Lake County, Illinois. Friendliest casino, North Shore Steaks and Seafood. They got great table games. They got great slot machines. They got a sports book. They got great food. You can go to AmericanPlaceCasino.com to find out about everything's going on, the great different contests and ways you can win money as easily as possible. But from me, American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin, 38 minutes if you want to be very specific. It's Dame Time on Season 4 of the Behind the Bucks podcast, presented by Gallagher. Explore Bucks superstar Damian Lillard's unlikely journey from a two-star high school prospect to a top 75 player in NBA history. The series, narrated by senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, reveals exclusive details of Dame's trade to the Bucks and experience with the team.
A couple weeks before I got traded to Milwaukee, AG was like, hey, like, what about Milwaukee? I think I might be able to work that out. And like you and Giannis, he was like, would you be open to that? I was like, yeah. And I think when I said yeah, I think that's when he pivoted and started like connecting the dots to get me to Milwaukee.
Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Tim Van Vorn, soon.